We're doing the Ketur Shulchan Aruch Mikol Chaim, and now we're up to the laws of a Sefer Torah, a little bit, what's missing or added, what disqualifies a Sefer Torah. So technically, if a Sefer Torah is missing a letter, or has an extra letter, that disqualifies the Torah. And we take out another Sefer Torah, the way we learned last week, Machlokas, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, whether you make a blessing afterwards or you don't. And it has to be a complete mistake. What happens, sometimes we have words that are written with an extra letter, and then it doesn't really change the meaning of the letter. Or we have words that are written missing a letter, like Yerushalayim is always written missing the final Yud, aside from a few examples in Tanakh. So then we don't take out another Sefer Torah, because our Sifrei Torah in the area of Chaser and Yater, extra letters or missing letters, we say that we were not 100% on our tradition in that. Here and there, the letters of the Torah were not 100% to that degree where, for example, Na'ara is written in most places in the Torah without a hey. Na'ara. Do we know exactly all the places it's written with a hey or without a hey? We're not so confident, not confident enough to disqualify Sefer Torah over something like that. Okay. What happens if he was supposed to write a Dalid and he wrote a Resh? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. And he cut off the corner of the Dalid. Now it comes out to be Acher. Right? So, then we have to take out another Sefer Torah. That's a real mistake. Sometimes you have situations where you add a letter and that changes all the meaning. Acher, you add a yud, acharei. So sometimes it doesn't even change the meaning, but it changes the way you read the word. Like in the Torah, we have a time that twins are called tomim, and we have a time that twins are called teomim. So if you add an aleph, where let's say by Yehuda's twin sons, it says v'nei tomim bevitna, doesn't say teomim, when he had Peretz and Zerach. So let's say the scribe, by mistake, wrote te'omim, being that the reading is different, so then we disqualify the Sefer Torah over that. We said, if there's an extra letter or a missing letter where it does not change the reading of the word, then we don't have to take out another Torah. But if it changes the reading of the word, even if it doesn't change the meaning, then we would have to take out another Sefer Torah. The only time we wouldn't have to take out a Sefer Torah is when it doesn't affect the reading or the meaning of the word. Let's say sometimes it says mezuzot, with a vav, sometimes without. Sometimes it says avotam, with a vav. Sometimes it says without. So that wouldn't change the reading or the meaning. Sometimes it says tzitzit, with more yuds, with less yuds. So adding or missing a yud wouldn't change the reading nor the meaning. There you would not take out a Sefer Torah. What happens if you have the word tiri'i? You will fear. And he took out the yud, so you read it tiri'i instead of tiri'i, which means you will see. Okay, two different meanings. Even though sounds similar, it's two different meanings, then we would have to take out another Sefer Torah. So again, our guiding principle is, if you're missing a letter or added a letter, that changes either the audible reading of the word or the meaning of the word. Either one would disqualify a Sefer Torah. Okay. We have another rule. What happens if you find two letters sticking to one another? That's very common. So on a weekday, you take a little blade and you cut it and you separate the two letters, and most of the time that's going to be okay. What about on Shabbos? So he says, according to Ashkenazim, you take out another Sefer Torah. My tradition is not that way. My tradition is based on certain opinions that say that being that on a weekday you could fix it by just splitting it, that's enough. You wouldn't take another Sefer Torah for that. Okay, more to be discussed for Sfardim, but that's not our point right now. Okay, we have to have between two letters a minimum of a hair's width. And between two words in the Sefer Torah, you have to have the space of a letter, of a small letter. I saw a Sefer Torah where the scribe wasn't careful about this. Sometimes within the word he put spaces, and sometimes between the words he did not put spaces. And that's a Sefer Torah that's completely disqualified, because the words are not written correctly, the letters aren't written correctly. Because one word sometimes looks like two words, and sometimes two words look like one word. So we have another rule that every letter has to be surrounded with white space. So let's say I have a letter Hey, and on the line beneath it I have a Lamed. So the Lamed enters the airspace of the Hey. So you'd say I can still see two distinct letters. That's true, but I don't have airspace around the letters. That's called Gvil, white space around each letter. That would disqualify it. Another problem we often have is that a letter gets divided. Sometimes the die cracks. Now, this happens very often as a Torah ages, especially if it wasn't used, or as the one who's reading the Torah puts the finger we point with on the Torah, that metal finger. So then he scrapes away pieces of the letter. If you could see a clear slit, he says that's disqualified. There's room to discuss that, but that's what he says. That if you see a clear slit in the letter, then that would disqualify the letter. Yes?
I may have already covered it, but if something enters the space, like a lamed that gets extended, you say it would be disqualified. You can't fix that? Right?
You could fix it on a weekday, on a Shabbos. You're stuck. You got to take out another Sefer Torah.
But it can't be fixed.
Now, we have crowns on the Sefer Torah. What happens if the crown gets stuck to another letter? That would also disqualify it. You're trying to write an open mem, and then the die connects, and suddenly you have a closed mem. So that's also a puzzle. Now we have a problem with fixing that. We have a rule called Chok Tochit, which means the following. I have to write each letter. I can't carve out a letter. So let's say I have a blob of die. We'll start with an easier case. I have a blob of die, a drop that fell. Now I had to write a yud there. So I'll just carve out the yud. You know, I'll erase the die around that dot, that blot, and I'll create a yud. That's disqualified. So that's problem number one. Now what happens if I have, let's say, that mem? So the mem became a closed mem. By scraping away part of it, now I have the open mem. Right? I scraped away. That disqualifies.
Could you erase everything and then just rewrite?
So you could erase enough to lose the form of a letter. You don't even have to erase all of it. You have to erase enough to lose the form of a letter.
Write it new, right?
And then you write it new, right. That's in a tefillin, obviously you can't do that in tefillin or mezuzah. But
unless it's the last letter.
Unless it's one of the last letters, right. Then you'd be able to. So that's one of the tricks that a sofer really has to learn well, to know when he could fix and when not, how you could fix. So that's the rule called Chok Tochit. To engrave out from what's there would disqualify any letter. It has to be that it's there. Now, if I have the letter, but I have a disqualifying factor in the letter, like it's touching another letter, I didn't lose what's called Surat Ot, the form of the letter, that's okay. Then I could scrape away the extra. Okay, what happens if in their days, so they had wax candles, right? So some wax dripped on the Sefer Torah. We had this problem this year. It was the fast of the 10th of Teves on a Friday. We had the famous snowstorm where all our electric was out. And so we had to read the Torah by candlelight on Friday afternoon, right? It's a fast day. It's Friday afternoon. And we need to read the Torah. I don't have any lights. It's the late afternoon. The only thing I have is candlelight. Now what happens if some wax from the candle drips on the Torah scroll? So now part of my letter is covered with wax. If I can see through the wax, if it's clear enough, that's okay. Remember, we have to read the Torah from the scroll. You're not allowed to read the Torah by heart. That's one of the problems bar mitzvah kids have. They know the parasha by heart, and then they get up there and At one point, they're not sure where they are on the page because they've been reading by heart. That's not kosher. They have to read each word from the page. If it's a thick layer of wax, so on a weekday, obviously, I take off the wax. On a Shabbos, I can't. I'm not allowed to take off the wax to scrape it off. I have to take out another Sefer Torah.
Does that mean that shul should keep like flashlights handy?
What do you mean? In which case? If there's a blackout? Well, usually you're reading the Torah by day. It's rare. It's only on a fast day. Where do you... You're saying for Shabbos, mincha, if the lights go out. Usually there's enough light. I'm saying here it was a wintry storm. We had a snowstorm. So we didn't have a lot of light coming in from outside. And we didn't have electric. And it was the late afternoon, because we were davening mincha right into Shabbos. It's rare that you have that, right?
What helped you is because you can't turn it on.
Right.
only on Shabbos fast day.
So you should have a emergency lights. So that's something we got to work on, right? Emergency lights that'll last long enough. Okay, but let's say the wax is dry, and if you roll up the Sefer Torah, the wax will crack off. So that's okay. Here, some say you're allowed to roll up the Torah, and if it falls off on its own, that's not our problem. Others say no. But you have who to rely on to do it. What happens if you have a piece of wax, but it's not on the piece of Torah you're going to read? It's on last week's parsha. So there, that's, again, there's a machlokas, but technically it says that it's a kosher Torah. You can't read from that part of the Torah because you can't see that part of the Torah. But that part of the Torah is kosher.
How would you take the wax off?
Well, the best way is to move around the parchment. If you have to scrape it off, you have to wonder whether you'll lose the dye as you scrape it off. Right? So the best way would be to try to tilt the parchment in a way it would come off.
You said before that just the tiniest bit of liquid will destroy a letter.
Right. Could.
Wouldn't the wax, while it's liquid, ruin
it? Could. It could. But it could be that the way it dripped, it cooled off coming down. Wax isn't always that hot. Wax could be started on the white part, and as it dripped, it cooled off. You know, could be other scenarios. Okay, so next week we'll Bezrat Hashem finish this with the laws of what happens when a letter changes form. When does a letter lose its status as a letter? So that's the final topic, Bezrat Hashem, for next week.